All right. Any final tips on copying things out on the MLS? Anything else you would add to what you've already said about that?
You know, I think this is it's a really good sort of 60,000 foot level talk here. You know, I don't know that I would add anything. I think you and I at some point, JP, could do a great class on comping houses, and that could be a really, really great phone call. But for now, you know, get access to the MLS. Make sure that you're going no more than a half a mile out. Don't go back any more than 90 days, and try to search for houses that are, you know, very similar to yours. If you look here, I got a 4-2-1. That's four beds, two and a half baths. Now look down this list and look at all the four bed, two and a half bath houses on this list. Boy, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that these houses got to be fairly similar to mine.
Right. Right.
When you start to see three ones, that is in no way similar to a 4-2-1. I mean, that you add one more bedroom and two more bathrooms, you know, that ain't like yours. So you gotta, you know, just it takes a lot of common sense. It also takes experience, and it takes some looking into a crystal ball. It can be very subjective.
All right, let's turn our attention Mr. Holmes. Thank you, Craig. And Craig, same goes for you. You're going to sit in the sidecar now, and but you can feel free to jump in.
Daddy, tear him up, baby.
You still there, buddy?
Tough act to follow, you know.
You're too modest. You're too modest. All right, here's what I'm going to do, buddy. I am making you an organizer and then a presenter.
This is going to be a great compare and contrast. I'm in a much lower price market than Craig. I do a lot more inexpensive rehab. It doesn't mean I don't have a nice product, but the numbers are just lower on that as well. And my rehabs, therefore, are quicker.
Yep, you want to show
my screen now?
There we go. I see.
All right. And you will also be able to see that I use a little more pencil and a little less computer than my mad Craig. I'm not as computer savvy as my brothers in the VIP.
Well, and that's, you know what, that's actually a great point. Craig is pretty computer savvy. Savvy? I just made up a word.
Savvy, yeah, man.
Computer savvy. But a lot of new investors, and I was one of these at once upon a time, make the mistake of thinking that if you're not extremely computer savvy, then you got to get that way before you can make money in real estate, and nothing could be further from the truth. Not only are you, my relatively computer ignorant friend, a testimony to that fact, but also the generations and generations of people who made a killing in real estate before computers ever existed. So that may seem like kind of pretty
funny,
plain,
you know,
obvious
when I started, like my quick version of my story, I started as an appraiser back in the 1980s, and we used comp books. There were no computer, and so we looked at, you know, every quarter, every 3 months, you'd get a new comp book, see what was going on in the market. The MLS would actually print them out, and this guy would drive around and deliver them to you.
The great big book.
Back in the dark ages. And that's how I got my start as an appraiser. And just the exact opposite again of Craig is that I made a slow transition from appraiser into buying some rentals, and then eventually did one rehab. My first year, I did one rehab, all the while still being an appraiser. And, you know, my whole business career has been a slow transition and change. And, you know, the market changes. I've done everything. I've done lease options. I've bought subject to, you know, lots of rehabs, owner financing. You name it, I've tried it. And,
Well, that's kind of why I gave you the label of rehabber slash creative investor, because I think, I mean, I've known you for a few years now, and my take, you tell me if you agree with this, is that you, your bread and butter is rehab and sell houses. But, you know, how you acquire those houses can be a variety of ways, and also you are, as you said, known for experimenting with a number of different types of, not just experimenting, but really doing a lot of different types of transactions as well.
Yeah, just, you know, I've been in the game for a little while, and you know, things come and go. I used to do a fair number of lease options, you know, as the market changes and we went into this period of time where it was easy to get loans, I got out of that because, you know, why mess with a lease option for a year if it's so easy for people to get a loan, it's easier just to go ahead and sell it and go back to cash and do another one. So as things change, you know, your business changes, and I think it's up to everybody who's an investor to always be learning and always be thinking about what, you know, what is best to do right now in this market. I'm looking a lot more into the owner financing model again. It's not what I'm going to talk about tonight, but now we have transitioned back into a time when it is more difficult for people to get loans. And so a seller who provides financing has more buyers than one that doesn't. So I'm kind of moving back in that direction. But anyway, to move forward, this is the first deal that I was going to talk about tonight. And I wanted to show this screen because this is the actual – I found this on the MLS. And this is the actual MLS listing of when I found it. And this house was, I think, 7 years old. It's in a good neighborhood with a lot of amenities. You know, when I'm doing my MLS searches, like Craig, you want to buy where somebody wants to live, and so I'm looking in certain school districts. At my price point range is basically 90 to 160, and so this house we listed at 155. I think this is a fairly upper range house for me. The interesting thing about this one is if you look here on the screen, it started at 119.9, it dropped down to 90, but the square footage, 2027, when I was doing my searches, one of my searches I do every day is price change. In the neighborhoods, like Craig said, he saw that thing go down on the market or got listed at a good price, and he went and jumped on it. Well, a lot of times they come out of the gate too high, like this one at 120 was too high. But I'm going in every day and searching under price change, and the prices only change in one direction these days. They go down. And so I like to search under, rather than search under active, I like to search under price change and see who just dropped their price. And when this one got to 90, it was worth looking at. And I looked at this house, and, you know, having started as an appraiser, I just looked at this house on the street, and I said, this house is bigger than 2,000 feet. It just is. And so I actually measured this house myself because the realtor got this from the tax record. That's that 2027 is what it says in the tax record. But the tax assessor, they don't measure houses usually. They can, you know, on a house that's a story and a half like this, as the assessor goes around, they don't get to go inside, so there's no way for them to measure the upper level, so they're often wrong. And so when I looked at this house, I measured it and figured out that it was actually 2,400 square feet. And so I knew something that nobody else knew, which gave me a little advantage, and we offered on this house and eventually got it for $85,000.
Okay, press pause on that for a second, and if mm-hmm. you don't mind, let me just ask you a couple of questions before they escape me. You said that when this thing got to $90,000, that's when it became kind of worth looking at. What is it that you – what insight do you have into either this property or this neighborhood that made it worth looking at $90,000? Why did that pique your interest when it didn't pique your interest before, besides just that it's a lower price?
I mean, you know, the average price in this neighborhood, when it came out of the chute, the average price in this neighborhood was $175, $180, and that was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. They haven't dropped that much, so I'm figuring this could be, you know, a 150 house or something. Just, I hadn't really looked at it that much. Just when you get to this neighborhood and, you know, all the houses are listed for considerably more than 90. And with it being that new, I didn't know if it might not need that much or whatever. It just, it kind of got into, you know, in this neighborhood, something's listed under 100. You know, we might take a look at it. And so when I first went by, I didn't really think for sure it was going to be a deal. It kind of got into that range where I'll go by if I'm in the area, go ahead and look at it, thinking that I might have to wait for it to drop down another 5 or 10. But when it does, I'll have already looked at it, and so I won't have to drive over there to make an offer.
Okay.
It's close enough that next time I'm on the northeast side of town, I'll go ahead and go by and look at it. This is listed with Gibbs Realty, which I've done a lot of business with, and I know how to get into their houses. And so I could just go over and look at it on a whim without talking to anybody and just put it on the radar as something that I might look at, you know, when it drops again. But then when
so you know the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know the neighborhood. And so you were already, I mean, that's important, obviously, is being a market expert enough that you don't have to do your research on what's going on in a neighborhood. And is this in a specific neighborhood that you farm? Is that why you know it so well, or is it you just know the neighborhoods in the Columbia area that well?
You know, mainly it's the latter. You know, starting as an appraiser in 1987, I've been in the Columbia market for a long time. I mean, I watched this neighborhood turn from a farm into a neighborhood and watched this. I mean, I've just seen it for a long time. And so, I just know that this is a popular neighborhood. It sells pretty fast and that most of the houses are 150 or more. And so when something drops under 100, it's worth a look next time I'm over there just to see what the deal was. At 2,000 square feet, it was a little smaller, but then it says 3 full baths. And so, anyway, it just intrigued me. I looked down at this right here, finished room over, and that's another thing where maybe it wasn't finished when the assessor did his tax assessment square footage. And so, and that might have been the case. And so I thought there was a chance that the assessor might be wrong. And it turned out that he was, and so that's why this one intrigued me. And so I went over there thinking that I was kind of getting ready for the next price change. But then when I figured out the square footage, I knew that it was time. It was right now. And I think I offered 80, and we wound up getting it for 85.
What kind of formula do you use in your head? I mean, you're a former appraiser, so I mean we all know. Appraisers tend to be they have to be very technical in the reports that they put together and very specific with how that's compiled, but investors don't do that, and I'm assuming you don't either. You kind of have a, part of it's a gut feeling, and you've already kind of talked about that, kind of your intuition where something pops up that really kind of piques your interest and you smell something. But also, I mean, looking at this, it kind of seems like maybe your interest starts to get up when it gets around maybe 65% list price, 65% of what.
Yeah, I mean, Greg was saying, there's a lot of chatter on the internet and the forums and everything about 65% times the R of the after repaired value or 70 or whatever, and that's a good rule of thumb, just to decide if you want to drive out there. Once I get there, I throw that form out the window, and I run my numbers the normal way, and which I'll show you here in a second. But yeah, that'll get me in the car, running them like that. And if it's in my, you know, I'll look at something at 70 cents on the dollar, all in the upper price range, which for me is something that you're going to sell for 150 or 160, and I'm going to be considerably lower in than that, more like 60 in the lower price range, just because the numbers are smaller. You know, you're not leaving yourself a good range. The higher it is, the higher you can go on your percentage, and the lower the sales price, the lower you can go.